you fighting with him for?
But when this guest returned...
He got off the elevator like this, coming towards the desk.
He wanted to reach out and touch someone.
He leaned across his desk and said, "Do you want some of me?" And I grabbed at it.
This is a good story. It's like a Dr. Seuss fairy tale.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Former hotel clerk Walter Antonio O'Neill is suing hotel guest James Pippin for assaulting him while on the job.
Order. All rise.
Case number 211 on the calendar, the matter of O'Neill versus Pippin. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Mr. O'Neill, you were working as a clerk in a hotel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where was the hotel?
Days Inn Hotel, Columbus, Georgia.
How long had you worked there?
From January to August 3rd, the day of the incident, 2013.
And what were your responsibilities?
Checking in the guests, providing amenities, letting them know of any tourist attractions in the area, providing towels or whatever.
How large a facility is this particular Days Inn?
150 rooms.
Prior to working at that Days Inn, where had you worked, sir?
I worked at State Bridge Suites in Columbus, Georgia also.
And for how long did you work for them?
I worked there from June 2012 to November 2012.
In what capacity?
Well, I was a night auditor there, same job description. All I did was just ran the audit. I worked third shift there, but I was still front desk.
And prior to that, where did you work?
I was at Holiday Inn Express from August 11th to February 2012.
Is there any reason why you move around hotels?
Well, honestly, Your Honor, at State Bridge Suites, I was working third shift. Guests called me asleep and reported me to the management, so.
Okay, and prior to that?
Prior to that, I was at the Super 8 Motel from March of 2011. To June of 2011.
And what happened with that job?
I left, the pay was low and the hours were low.
Okay. Now, on what date did this incident happen with Mr. Pippin?
August 3rd, 2013, around 4 p.m.
It is your claim, Mr. O'Neill, that Mr. Pippin unlawfully touched you?
That is correct.
In anger?
Correct.
I'd like you to tell me what happened.
Yes, ma'am. 4 p.m., he was my last arrival for the day. I checked him in, and he asked if we had long distance. I advised him that long distance was cut off in the rooms. We were sold out that day, and sometimes the owner has the long distance cut off in the room.
You mean there is usually long distance in the room, but on this particular day, the owner cut off the long distance?
It happens.
How often does it happen?
If we're sold out, because people will just make long distance calls, and kids playing on the phone, running up the bills, and at the owner's discretion, he'll choose whether or not the phone is cut off for long distance.
Who cuts off the long distance, you or the owner? Who physically does it?
The owner, but he was not there.
So Mr. Pippin said, is there long distance? You said no, and he said?
He said, I need to dial a 334 number, which is an Alabama number. I said, sir, as I advised, the long distance is cut off. He said, turn on the damn phone. I said, sir, the long distance is cut off. He accused me of refusing service.
Now, what did he say to you?
He said, you little... He threw an ink pen over the desk at me and stormed off.
When he threw the ink pen at you, did it hit you?
No, ma'am, it barely missed me, just...
And he left?
He left and went to his room.
You had already given him his key?
Yes, ma'am.
Then what happened?
Okay, about 10 minutes later, he arrived at his room. He called me from the front desk. I can see on the console who's calling. I said, guest services, Antonio O'Neill. Are you gonna turn this phone on? And I hung up the phone. He called back right when I hung up. Turn this damn... I hung up the phone. About 10 minutes later, he was on the fourth floor. He came back down, got off the elevator. He was from where our distance is. He got off the elevator like this, coming towards the desk. I was sitting down then. I said, yes, sir, how can I help you? You're gonna get off of your and turn this phone on. So I get up, I stand to the desk. It's about the distance where he was standing on the other side. I said, sir, you can either leave the hotel or go back to your room. This is totally unwarranted. He grabbed me over the counter by my neck. Bring your black on. And I pushed him back off of me. And I called 911.
Now I'll hear your version of the events, Mr. Pippin.
Your Honor, do you want me to dispute his testimony or give you my recollection of the events?
Just
shoot holes in what he said, or
no.
I can...
Listen to me very carefully, Mr. Pippin.
Yes, ma'am.
You arrived at the hotel at 4 o'clock.
No, ma'am, I did not arrive at the
hotel. What time did you arrive at?
6:30.
You arrived at 6:30?
Yes, ma'am.
And?
I signed in, asked for long distance service, got no response.
Now, what do you mean you asked for long distance service? I want you to say exactly what you said, Mr.
Okay.
Pippin.
I checked in, I asked if the phones were working. He said you had free local service. Okay?
Listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Careful. You asked if the phones were working. He said, yes, you have free local service.
Yes,
so he answered you.
He did.
And then you said to him,
I need to make a long distance phone call.
Yes.
And he ignored me. I asked again, and he ignored me. The third time I said, turn on the damn phone.
Just a second. How did you know the phone wasn't on? Listen to me carefully, Mr. Pippin.
Yes, ma'am.
You're downstairs at the desk.
Yes.
You haven't checked in yet. According to you, you said that the phone's working, and he said to you, you have free local calls. Then you said, what about long distance? And he didn't answer you.
That
and
is
you
correct.
Said, pay attention. And you asked him again, what about the long distance? And you said, again, he ignored you.
Exactly.
So you didn't know at that point whether you had long distance or not, right? I'm listening to what you're telling me. So why would you say to him, turn on the long distance? If he didn't answer you, you had no knowledge of whether you had long distance or not.
This is true.
This is very true, sir. That's why they keep me here.
All right.
Because I am the repository of all truth.
Okay.
And the person who ferrets out crap. So that's what we're trying to do. Who's giving me crap and who's telling me the truth? So now you say to him, despite the fact that you don't know whether or not you have long distance, turn on the damn phone. To which he replied,
Your Honor, may I back
no,
up?
No, we're going step by step.
Okay,
because remember, I said
I
to you,
up.
I don't know. No, you can't back up. You said to me exactly what happened down at the desk. Now you're at, I said to him, turn on the damn phone. And he said, nothing, or did he respond?
That's when he proceeded to lecture me on, respect?
Just a second. I don't want to hear what you're editorializing, Mr. Pippin. I want to hear what he said to you.
That's what he said?
No.
Okay, he said, you're going to respect me more than that.
Oh, that's okay. You're going to respect me more than that, because you said to him, turn on the damn phone. And you said to him?
And we continued to argue about the long distance service.
No, don't tell me what we continue. You said to him, he said to you. He said, you're going to respect me more than that. And you said?
You got to earn your respect. You don't.
And you said, this is a good story. It's like a Dr. Seuss fairy tale. And you said to him, you've got to earn that respect. And he said to you?
He kept on. I don't remember verbatim.
So you don't remember. Now, at some point, you went up to your room.
I did.
At what time did you get up to your room?
It took 5 minutes. It was just 6:45, I imagine.
So 6:45. So all of this conversation took about 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Got up to your room, and what happened?
I called down and asked him if he was going to turn on the long distance.
So you called downstairs, you got him, and what did you say to him?
I said, are you going to turn on the damn phone?
And he said?
He hung up on me.
And what did you do?
I called back again.
And you said?
He hung up on me again.
And what did you do?
I went back downstairs.
And what did you do when you got back downstairs?
Proceeded to continue the argument, and I
want you to
know
tell me step by step what you did when you took the elevator from the fourth floor downstairs to the lobby. I want you to tell me where you went and what you did.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I got so mad that I bowed up and invited him outside. He leaned across his desk and said, do you want some of me? And I grabbed at him.
And later today,
my dog, Rocky, ran in the same time that an iron pole had fell and crushed his tail.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Former hotel clerk Walter Antonio O'Neill says hotel guest James Pippin assaulted him while he was working.
Okay, go ahead.
I went back to the desk. I was still perturbed because he would not give me any answer regarding the long distance service. And the argument got heated. I got so mad that I bowed up and invited him outside. at which point he leaned across his desk and said, "Do you want some of me?" And I grabbed at him. And he retreated so fast, all I did was touch his shirt sleeve.
You can't do that. You can't put your hands on him.
All right, I understand.
Not allowed.
I understand.
Not allowed. Go outside, find a phone, and make your long-distance call. Check out of the hotel. Demand your money back from your credit card. Say this place is supposed to have long distance and it didn't have long distance. What are you fighting with him for?
Because I found out from the motel manager
and other
desk clerk.
Listen to me, sir. Listen to me carefully. You can't tell me anything that you found out. That's hearsay.
The desk clerk and the owner manager of the hotel?
If he was here, he could tell me anything he wanted to tell me. You can't tell me what they told you.
Okay.
You know what you can do, Mr. Pippin?
What's that?
You can pay him $1,500 for putting your hands on him, Judge.
No,
ma'am.
Plaintiff.
That's what you will do.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I was too mad to control myself, and I'm an old curmudgeon.
I have no ill will towards Mr. Pippin whatsoever.
The world's changed. It ain't what it was 20, 30 years ago. And I don't agree with all the things that have changed.
I'm not sure if there's some racism there, but I got nothing but love for him. I'm moving on.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Grover versus Flink. Step forward.
Victoria and Norman Grover are suing former friend Robert Flink for vet bills after their Cocker Spaniel was injured on his property.
Mrs. Grover, what is your dog's name?
Rocky.
And how old is Rocky?
6 years old.
You were looking at some property, you and your husband. And the property was owned by Mr. Flink?
Yes, my family.
What kind of property is it, Mr. Flink?
It's an old single-family house with a detached garage.
On how much property?
The lot is 76 by 100.
Where is it located?
It's in Costa Mesa.
On what date did you go and look at the property?
June 24th.
Of this year?
Of this year, 2013, yes.
This is what your case is about. You went to look at the property. When you got to the property, the dog, Rocky?
Yes.
Rocky, who was leashed at the time.
Yes.
Someone took the leash off the dog. Who did that?
Bob Flink.
And you agree that you took the leash off the dog?
Yes.
So the dog could run around?
I had brought my dogs there, too, since she had brought her dog.
What kind of dog did you have?
German Shorthair Pointer that I got from the rescue about a year ago. And then I had my neighbor's dog, Henry, who was a Heinz 57 variety dog.
Okay. So the three dogs were sort of running around?
Yes.
And had you looked at the house?
Yes.
Did you like the house?
Yes.
And were you contemplating renting it?
Contemplating, yes.
Now, the accident that involved Rocky took place in the garage.
Yes.
Would you like to tell me what happened?
Shall I start from when I just got there or from the incident?
No, start with you looked at the house, you liked the house, and now you're outside. The dogs are running around, all three dogs. Okay. And when you tell me the story, keep your voice up a little
okay.
bit because I'm...
Okay, so we were outside looking at the yard, and then Bob had showed us the garage, and there's two garage doors.
So it's a double garage?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, I had learned that that garage was not going to be part of the lease, that we were not able to use that. So Mr. Flink opened up the first garage door.
When you open up the garage door, is that an automatic door?
I don't believe so.
How do you open the garage door?
It's a garage door that swings open, so you have to grab a hold of the handle in the middle and swing it out towards you, and then push it up.
Oh,
open.
So you bent down, opened up the garage door.
Yes.
And?
And so we saw there was, I believe, recreational vehicles there. It was filled up. So then he went to the other garage door. As he was opening that up, Your Honor, my dog, Rocky, ran in the same time that an iron pole of...
Similar to this.
Similar to this.
Put similar down.
Oh. The iron pole had fell and crushed his tail as he ran in.
Where was the pole from, Mr. Flink?
It was leaning up on the inside of the garage.
So when the dog walked in, he
something
knocked
got it. He knocked into it, and then the pole started teetering over. It bounced off the wave runner that was in there and then continued on to the garage floor, I mean, making a scraping sound as it was going down and then the ringing when it hit the floor. And then Rocky was in that area. He ran underneath the jet ski trailer that was in there, and when he came out wagging his tail, it was
there was
bleeding.
Only a piece of it left.
No, it was just bleeding.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What didn't you understand that I needed this additional explanation from you?
I just want to clear it up.
There's nothing that was unclear to me.
Okay.
Did I look confused to you?
No, you don't at all. cases, real people, Judge Judy.
Victoria and Norman Grover say former friend Robert Flink is responsible for vet bills after their Cocker Spaniel's tail was crushed while on his property.
Okay, so what did you do?
Got out two first aid kits and Norm bandaged it up after Vicky had hosed him off. We sprayed it down.
Hosed him off because he was bleeding?
Yes. Okay. And it just looked like a little cut in his tail. Couldn't tell what was...
Whatever. So you took him to the vet. The vet had to amputate a piece of the tail. Vet bill was
$998.
$998 that you want Mr. Flink to be responsible for.
Yes.
That's what the case is. Is
yes.
that simple?
May I...
What? What did I miss?
Well, Mr. Flink said that he had ran into something to cause it to fall.
I don't care whether he ran into something or not.
Okay.
On the property, he took the leash off the dog.
Yes.
While you didn't protest that, he let the dog gain access to the garage. So, Mr. Flink, why do you not think that you're responsible for this vet bill?
Well, when I started to open up the garage, it was only a third of the way open when Rocky ran in. And then I had to changed my hand position, opened up the garage door the rest of the way, and the bar wasn't falling until the door was open and I could see what was going on.
And
it hit the wave runner, which I wouldn't have something propped up in there to hit the jet ski.
Just a second. Let us substitute a two-year-old toddler for Rocky.
All right.
If a child was injured under the same circumstance on your property because there was a pole or something that was loose in an area, sufficiently loose so that the child was injured, why would you think you were not responsible?
Well, you wouldn't have a child crawl underneath the garage door as I was opening it up.
Right, but you might have a puppy.
Well, the other two dogs that were there, they didn't go running into the door. Only
Rocky. Just a second.
Here.
One of those was yours.
Yes.
Maybe yours is smart and knew about the loose pole.
It wasn't. It was propped up in the garage to where it was going to stay unless something happened to hit it.
It's your responsibility, sir, to see to it that your property is in order so that it's not going to hurt anybody or anything. Why would you open the garage door anyway?
They wanted to see if there was any storage room in the garage.
Well, let me hear. I'm just curious. What's that conversation? The garage was not being rented with the house.
Right.
So it was just the house.
Right.
So tell me about the conversation. Did you say to them, there really is no room for you to store your stuff in here? Let me show you. Is that why you opened the garage?
I opened the garage because they asked to see if there was any room in there for storage for bicycles or whatever.
And what did you say to them?
I said that the garage was full.
So why did you open it?
As a courtesy to show them that there wasn't any room in there.
It's your property.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, can I see the vet bill, please?
Your Honor, by the way, that's not how it happened.
Well, I'd like to hear your version of how it happened.
So, we saw the inside of the house. Fine. He brought.
We're outside the house already. We're
outside
the garage.
The house, yes. And I said, the garage is not included, correct? That's all I stated. I just wanted to confirm that. And that's when Bob went into action and he opened the garage door.
Explain that to me. I don't understand what you're saying.
I didn't ask to see the garage at all. We already understood that the garage was not a part of the rental.
Mr. Grover, what part of you won your case 5 minutes ago? Didn't you understand that I needed this additional explanation from you?
I just want to clear it up, that's all.
There's nothing that was unclear to me.
Okay.
Did I look confused to you?
No, you don't at all.
Judge, for the plaintiff in the amount of $988.11. Thank you.
Parties are excused. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
I think I was right. It wasn't my fault.
I'm very pleased.
The dog banged into something into the garage, and that's what caused the bar to tip over.
He had said, sue me, and he hung up on me.
I got two first aid kits out of the garage, and Norm bandaged up the dog's tail after Vicky had hosed it off.
We sent him off with my wife to the vet as soon as possible.
The dog's tail was still bleeding.
They had to do surgery to find out if they could stitch it up or if it would be amputated.
If something hadn't been done, it would have just kept bleeding.
With that type of an injury, he just would have bled to death.